John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 21 as our text tonight for the message, Christ's Resurrection Body. John chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Not long ago, a certain Baptist church in the state of Illinois excluded 3 men for believing that the human body of Jesus Christ rose from the dead. One of these men is an acquaintance of mine, and he recently shared with me a letter that the pastor of the church that excluded him had sent. I have a copy of it here. He also sent me a printed transcript of a taped conversation that pastor had with the other 2 men that were excluded by that church. In this letter and transcript, the pastor explained to these men why they had been excluded from that church. I want to read to you here some quotes from this letter and from this transcript. Some statements made by this Baptist pastor about the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. In the transcript, the pastor asks, Where does it say that Christ's body rose from the dead? This was asked in such a way as to indicate that nowhere does God's Word actually say that Christ's body rose from the grave. In the letter, the pastor states twice that at the resurrection, quote, his body had been totally changed and was no longer human, unquote. He says that twice. In the transcript, one of the disciplined men states that Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. Amen. To which this pastor replied, quote, He was that, but not in heaven right now, unquote. Later in the transcript, that pastor stated, quote, These doctrines, that is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and His continuing humanity, are not Baptist doctrine. This is a Protestant doctrine the two of you are holding to, unquote. Well, these shocking statements by this Baptist pastor present 4 extremely serious errors, 4 spiritually fatal errors. In this message, I want us to look at each of these 4 errors and see what God's Word actually says about them. Error number 1 of this pastor that we see in these statements is that God's Word does not say that Christ's body rose from the dead. This pastor asked the question, Where does it say that Christ's body rose from the grave, as if God's Word does not say this? First of all, we need to understand what resurrection means. What is a resurrection? According to Ecclesiastes 12:7 and James 2:26, death is the separation of the soul from the body. Death is not the cessation of either the body or the soul. Resurrection is a reversal of death. Resurrection reverses this separation of soul from body and reunites the soul and the body from which the soul was separated. There can be no resurrection if there is not a reuniting of the divided parts of a man, soul and body. In a resurrection, the cold clay of a body is reanimated. Resurrection involves a revival of the dead physical body. A resurrection requires a body. And my friends, without a body, there can be no resurrection. The body of Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Jesus Christ was put to death in the flesh, and He was raised from the dead in the flesh. It was a real body that died and was laid in the grave. The body of Jesus Christ was laid in that grave dead, and it came out of that grave alive. His dead body was quickened. That's another biblical word. It was quickened. That means it was brought to life. Those very limbs that lay cold and stiff in death became warm with life again. The real body of Jesus Christ that died consisted of flesh, blood, and bones, and could be seen and handled. That it was the same body that arose is clear from the nail scars in His hands and the spear wound in His side after He arose. If the body of Jesus Christ did not arise, pray tell me, what was it that did arise? It certainly was not a spirit that rose. A spirit is something that's immaterial. The only thing a resurrection can be is the resurrection of a body. Listen, a spirit never dies. I hear these liberals say every once in a while, well, it was the spirit of Christ that rose in the resurrection. No, because the spirit never dies. A spirit never enters the grave. It is never buried. Who ever heard of a spirit being resurrected? It was the Lord's human body that was raised from the dead. But where does God's Word say that the body of Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Let's just cut right to the question. Where does it say that? Well, this certainly is one of the easiest questions to answer for anyone who can simply read the Word of God. In our text, in John 2:18 through 21, the Lord Jesus prophesied that His body would rise from the dead. And notice that text again in verse 18. The Jews asked the Lord Jesus for a sign to authenticate His claims. And the Lord responded in verse 19 by saying, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." I believe that He may well have pointed to His body when He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Clearly, this temple was the physical body of Jesus Christ. The Jews thought that He was talking about Herod's temple, which had been under construction for 46 years at that time. The second temple, we sometimes call it. Those Jews either ignorantly or willfully misunderstood what the Lord said here. But the Lord had reference not to the temple of stone, but to the temple of His own body. Verse 21 says, "But He spake of the temple of His body." How much clearer could He get? When the Lord Jesus said here, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up," He means, if they destroyed the temple of His body, if they killed Him, He Himself would raise up that body in 3 days. And this would be the sign that would prove His deity. Well, the Jews did destroy that temple, the temple of Christ's body. They crucified Him. They made sure that He was dead. And they made sure that His tomb was guarded. After 3 days and three nights, the Lord Jesus did raise His body from the dead. The temple of His body was fully and completely erected in 3 days. The Jews destroyed the temple, and Christ raised it up again. They tore it down, and He built it up again. Look again at verse 19. "Destroy this temple," that is My body, "and in 3 days I will raise it," My body, "up." This and it here stress the continuity between the pre- and post-resurrection body of our Lord. The same body that would be destroyed in death would be raised up in the resurrection. The very body that went into the grave at His death came out again at His resurrection. If it did not, then the Lord's words here in verse 19, "I will raise it up," are not true. The New Testament clearly teaches that the body of Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The body that came out of the grave alive could still be touched and handled. Turn to Matthew 28 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9. We're going to look at several scriptures. Where does it say Christ's body rose from the dead? We're going to look at many scriptures that say this. Matthew 28 and verse 9. This verse of scripture says that when they saw the risen Christ, the disciples reacted by holding Him by His feet. Look at it. "And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'All hail!' And they came and held Him by the feet and worshiped Him." Does that not teach that the body of Christ rose from the dead? Now let's turn to Luke 24, verses 39 and 40. Luke 24, verses 39 and 40. Here the Lord Jesus showed His wounds and offered His body for His disciples to touch. Luke 24, 39, let's read it. "Behold," or "look at My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Handle Me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see Me have." And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. The Lord Himself said here that it was a body of flesh and bones in which He arose. Look at verses 41 through 43 of this same 24th chapter, because it says that the risen Jesus ate food in the presence of His disciples as proof that He had a physical body. "And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, 'Have ye here any meat?' And they gave Him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them." Only a physical human body could eat. Now, you know, it's ridiculous to even think of a spirit eating. You know, He puts it in His mouth and it goes down and you can see it like you're watching it on an X-ray. That's ridiculous. Thomas demanded to be able to feel with his own hands the wounds of the risen Lord. And the Lord actually granted him the opportunity to do so in John 20, 27. Let's turn to that. John 20, verse 27. Thomas demanded to be able to feel the wounds with his own hands, and the Lord granted him the opportunity to do so. "Then saith he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold My hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into My side, and be not faithless, but believing.'" How did Thomas respond to this? He said in verse 28, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and My God.'" And then in verse 29, the Lord reproved Thomas for believing only when he had seen the Lord's body and His wounds. "Jesus saith unto him, 'Thomas, because thou hast seen Me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.'" If it was not the same body in which the Lord tried to convince His disciples that He had risen from the dead, then the Lord Jesus was a deceiver. Error number two of this pastor in his letter and transcript is that the body of Jesus Christ that rose from the dead was no longer human. Remember his statement. Quote, "His body had been totally changed and was no longer human," unquote. if what arose from the dead was not human, then it must of necessity been a spirit, because that's all there is, either material or immaterial, either body or spirit. That's all there is. He was either body or spirit. He said in Luke 24:39 that a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. The New Testament is abundantly clear that the body of Jesus Christ that rose from the dead was still a human body. If one thing is buried and another thing is raised, then what is raised cannot be called a resurrection. If it were another body or a new body, it would not be a resurrection, it would be a creation. Christ's resurrection body was substantially the same as His body that was crucified and buried. There is a complete personal identity of that which arose with that which had died and been buried. The same identical human body with the nail prints and the spear wound in it was raised from the dead and seen and handled by Christ's disciples. It was not another body, but the same body. It was not a new body, but the same body. It was the same body, and yet at the same time it was profoundly different. The resurrection body of Jesus Christ was wonderfully improved. In that resurrection body, think about it, He could appear and disappear. He could walk through walls. And He could die no more. Turn to Luke 20:35-36. Luke 20:35-36. We're talking about how the resurrection body of Christ was the same, and yet it was vastly improved. One of the things that characterized that body, in addition to being able to walk through the walls and appear and disappear, was that it would die no more. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more. For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Once a person rises from the dead, and as Christ did, he'll never die again. Once Christ rose from the dead, he never will die again. Now, because of these wonderful improvements in our Lord's resurrection body, that body is called in Philippians 3:21, His glorious body. But it was still the same body. And it was the same humanity that had died and been buried. Glorified, yes. Improved vastly, yes. But still the same body. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead fully human. He was as much a real man after His resurrection as before. Error number 3 of this pastor, whose letter and transcript I have, is that Jesus Christ is no longer 100% God and 100% man in heaven right now. This statement results from a fundamental misunderstanding of the person of Christ. In the incarnation, the divine nature took a human nature into union with itself. And the result was the God-man, Jesus Christ. This union of two natures in the one person of Jesus Christ, we sometimes call the hypostatic union. In this hypostatic union, the two natures in the one person of Jesus Christ are inseparably united. Here's what I mean. From the very moment the two natures were united in Him, and for all eternity to come, there never was and never shall be any separation of the two. The incarnate God, Jesus Christ, has a complete nature, a complete divine nature, and a complete human nature, inseparably united in one person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Christ's two natures were, from the moment of His conception in the womb of His mother Mary, indivisible and inseparable. Why? It's unthinkable that the humanity of Christ ever be divided or separated from His deity. The hypostatic union can never be dissolved because it is the real essence of the incarnate Christ. Christ's human nature always remains human, and His divine nature always remains divine, and both remain forever in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is right now and always shall be fully God, yet fully man. Matter of fact, one of the so-called church councils way back in, I think it was in the 4th century A.D., came up with that formula of the person of Christ that they believe the Word of God teaches about Him. Fully God, yet fully man. So Jesus Christ died, rose again, and lives forever in a complete humanity. Jesus Christ was raised from Joseph's tomb in a material body. And in that material body, He is living today. He is now living in a human body of flesh and bones. This is what the Word of God clearly teaches. It was the real human body of Jesus Christ that rose from the dead. So where is that resurrection body of Jesus Christ right now? Where is it? If it did rise physically, bodily from the grave, where is it? In Acts 1, His body was seen by the disciples to ascend into heaven, and two angels appeared at that time to announce that this same Jesus would return to this earth someday. Let's read Acts 1, 9 through 11 here. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 tells us this. Acts 1, verse 9. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, or while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. When this real human body had ascended up into heaven, it sat down at the right hand of God. Turn to Mark 16 and verse 19. Mark 16, 19. Tells us what happened to the body of Christ after He ascended into heaven. Mark 16, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now, Christ sitting is not to be understood of His divine nature, but of His human nature and His divine nature, which are inseparable. This very moment, Jesus Christ the man sits in heaven as our high priest and lives forever to make intercession for us. Turn to Romans 8:34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans 8:34 tells us where Christ is and what He's doing in that body right now. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh present tense intercession for us. Amen. It is as a man that Jesus Christ intercedes for us today. He is the man in glory who continueth ever and has an unchangeable priesthood. Turn to Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25 tells us that Christ the man ever lives in heaven making intercession in His great high priesthood. Hebrews 7:24. But this man, because he continues ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Right now, the man, Christ Jesus, is interceding in our behalf at the Father's right hand in heaven. Jesus Christ, our mediator, is a man who is this moment seated at the Father's right hand in heaven with a real humanity. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 2:5. I want you to note that these statements are in the present tense. It's talking about right now as the reader reads the Scriptures. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. This is right now. Our mediator is the man, the human, the 100% human, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is now in a body of flesh, and He is coming again to this earth in that body someday. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus repeatedly called attention to His wounds. These wounds are eternal because His body is eternal. Zechariah 12:10 says that at some future day, Israel will look on the Lord Jesus whom they have pierced and they will repent. Let's turn to that. Zechariah, next to the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 12. And verse 10, Zechariah 12:10. Someday in the future, Israel is going to look at the coming Savior whom they have pierced, and they're going to repent. And I will pour upon the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they, that is the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Israel, shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That's saying that out there in the future, when Christ comes again, Israel's going to see Christ in his body because they're going to see the one they pierced. And then Zechariah 13:6, just right down the page there, goes on to say that at that time someone will ask him, "What are these wounds in thine hands?" Then he shall answer, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Now think about it. 2,500 years have already passed, and this event that is spoken of in Zechariah here is still in the future. And so the Lord Jesus still has those wounds in His body and will have them when He returns. Revelation 1:7 speaks of the same second coming of the Lord and these same Jews and that same body when it says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. He's coming back in that same body with those same wounds of piercing. It is a man who shall return to this earth. A man who shall judge the world in righteousness. A man who shall distribute rewards. A man who shall say, "Depart from me, ye cursed." But what a man. He cannot fail. He cannot sin. He cannot fall. No, his perfect humanity is united with his deity, and thus he is a sure and eternal Savior. Jesus Christ is a real man as much after his resurrection as before, and he is as real a man in heaven right now as he was while he was on this earth. A real body has really risen from a real death to a real human life and really lives as a real man in heaven right now. To deny these facts is to agree with the Jehovah's Witness cult, whose founder, Charles Taze Russell, says on page 129 of volume 2 of his book, The Plan of the Ages, quote, listen to what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. Many Christians have the idea that our Lord's glorious spiritual body is the very same body that was crucified and laid in Joseph's tomb. They expect when they see the Lord in glory to identify Him by the scars He received on Calvary. This is a great mistake. We have no more reason to suppose that our Lord's spirit body since His resurrection is a human body than we have for supposing that His spirit body prior to His first advent was human or that other spirit beings have human bodies. Unquote. In the Jehovah's Witness book, Let Your Name Be Sanctified, on page 272, we are told, quote, while He did not ascend to heaven in the human body that He had sacrificed, and that He left forever upon God's altar, He did return to heaven with the merit or value of His human life that He had laid down for dying mankind. Unquote. Christians, we must never lose the firm conviction that Jesus Christ is certainly and fully a man, a human being in a human body. Finally, error number 4 of this pastor concerning Christ's resurrection body is that the bodily resurrection and continuing humanity of Jesus Christ are not Baptist doctrines. This is utterly preposterous and reveals great ignorance of Baptists and their history. We know that the doctrines of the bodily resurrection and the continuing humanity of Jesus Christ are Baptist doctrines because they are Bible doctrines. And true Baptists are people of the book. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice, and the Bible most certainly teaches these things. Our historic Baptist confessions of faith through the centuries are statements of the doctrines Baptists have believed and generally agreed upon. They're not binding on us. They're not the Bible. They're not on anywhere near the level of the Bible. All they do is express what we believe the Bible teaches. And at any given time in history, if you want to find out what Baptists generally believed at that time, read our confessions of faith from that time. Perhaps our greatest Baptist confession of faith has been the Philadelphia Confession of Faith, drawn up in 1742. In paragraph 4 of chapter 8, which is titled, Of Christ the Mediator, this confession says, quote, now notice how it talks about everything, every false doctrine that this preacher has brought up tonight. Quote, on the third day, He arose from the dead with the same body in which He suffered, with which He also ascended into heaven, and there sitteth at the right hand of His Father, making intercession, and shall return to judge men and angels at the end of the world. Unquote. Now, that was one paragraph saying everything I've said in this message tonight without the scripture reference. Paragraph 2 of that same chapter is speaking of the two natures of Jesus Christ, the human and the divine. When it says, quote, two whole, perfect, and distinct natures were inseparably joined together in one person without conversion, composition, or confusion, unquote. These things, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and His continuing humanity, most certainly are Baptist doctrines. To deny this in the face of our confessions of faith is utterly preposterous. Contrary to the four errors of this pastor that I have quoted here, the Word of God clearly teaches that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the grave. The risen Christ continues to be fully human, a man who is presently seated at the Father's right hand in heaven. And these things are historic Baptist doctrine as well as the clear teachings of the Word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the bodily resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, confessing that we have not studied this and we do not know this as we ought to know it. Father, help us to look at Your Word and learn the truth so that we will not be misled by those who say that Christ is no longer 100% man in heaven and that He did not rise bodily from the dead and that He does not have the same body in which He ministered and was crucified. Father, we pray that You would use this message tonight to impress the importance of salvation on the hearts of those here without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray for these men who were excluded from this church for standing for the truth of Thy Word. We pray that You'd bless them and that You would lead them to a gospel-preaching, gospel-believing Baptist church. We pray, our Father, for this one who is in such utter error that You would change his heart and lead him to see the Lord Jesus Christ as He is truly revealed in Your written Word. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, and for His sake, amen.